From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour will be made on the night of Saturday, April 27th, when the Rochester Music Hall of Fame celebrates a new class of inductees. This year's class includes a founding member of the Beach Boys, Al Jardine. It includes Emmy Award-winning composer Jack Alaco, folk singer-songwriter Christine Lavin, music promoter Jeff Springett, and rock radio station WCMF. Now, Jardine told the Democrat and Chronicle that his love for music was ignited during his short time here in the Flower City. Alaco is Rochester-born and raised and is a trustee of his alma mater, Nazareth College, and the board for the Hall of Fame is eager to showcase this year's performers. As always, there are hints, maybe rumors, that might we have some big names that might make a surprise appearance. You probably remember just last year when legend Steve Gadd and Tony Levin were inducted, Paul Simon joined them on stage to perform. So far, the Hall of Fame board isn't divulging who might be a surprise this year. I tried to arm twist it out of them, and they swore up and down. They barely even knew before Paul Simon got off the plane that he was coming here last year. So we'll see. And hey, it wouldn't be a true Hall of Fame without debate and controversy. Every year, the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame includes debates about snubs who didn't get in but should. And now the Rochester Music Hall of Fame is hearing some local critics who wonder about the requirements for being considered Rochester enough to be in the Rochester Music Hall of Fame. Longtime local music writer Frank DeBlaze, writing for City Newspaper, argues that the Hall of Fame is skipping over the truly local talent that serves as the backbone of the local scene. He writes, quote, "The Rochester Music Hall of Fame is bringing in talent from outside to celebrate Rochester. They're looking without Rochester instead of looking within, and this is, well, it ain't cool," end quote. And maybe that's a sign that the Rochester Music Hall of Fame has truly made it. I suspect they want healthy debate about the inductees. There's a lot of buzz about it, and they're ready to discuss that and more this hour. Our guests include the president of the board of directors for the Rochester Music Hall of Fame, Jack Whittier. Welcome back. Thanks for being here, Jack.
Thanks for having us, Evan.
You got it. Tracy Croft is vice president of the board. Welcome back to you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Jerry Falzone is a board member for the Rochester Music Hall of Fame. Welcome, Jerry.
Great to be here.
And flying the ointment, Frank DeBlaze is here. Hi, Frank.
You guys are going to cream me.
Are you kidding? I think this is healthy. I think every Hall of Fame should want debate, should want interest. You don't want crickets. You want a lot of people saying who's in, who's out, and what are we going to do about that? So thank you for taking the time to be here.
Sure. Can I make one correction? Our event is Sunday 28th, not Saturday.
I knew it's always on a Sunday.
Don't show up to the theater on the 27th. You're not going to see anybody.
It's always on a Sunday, too. Always on a Sunday. I should have known. I was looking at my calendar probably for last year. Sunday, April 28th, and you can get tickets now, yeah?
Yes, you can. Go to rochestermusic.org. There's a button that says buy tickets. It'll take you right to the Eastman Theater website. You can pick your seat out. Tickets are going fast. Actually, tickets are selling faster than any year except for last year, and obvious reasons with Steve Gadd and Tony Levin. It was a hot ticket last year.
All right, so Sunday, April 28th, you can get your tickets. The show starts that night when, Jay?
7 p.m.
7 p.m. And it has been an epic performance in years past. We're going to be talking about the inductees. You're going to hear from Chuck Campbell, a past inductee, a member of the Campbell Brothers, later in this hour. Let's talk a little bit about this process, Jack, because you've had how many years now? What class is this? This
will be the eighth year.
Eighth year. And obviously, there are a lot of different calculations that go in. Who's available to be here for the ceremony? I'm sure every year we'd love to corral Renee Fleming and bring her back to town, perhaps some year in the future.
It's in the works.
Okay, that's something that's...
She's our first ask every year.
Okay, yeah, and you know...
For obvious reasons.
Of course, and understood. You have also inducted by now, 8 years in, some of the huge names that people know. Steve Gadd, Tony Levin last year, you know, Bat McGrath and so many others in recent years. And tell me what this process looks like. I mean, is it a case where you and the board, you already have kind of a database of names, of possibilities? Are you take submissions? What's it look like? How's it work?
Okay, so we have a selection committee. Way back when we were just forming the organization, I actually have this with us, our selection committee came up with a document. It's 58 pages long, so we have close to 200 names on there. So we do reference that, but we really rely on the members of the selection committee. I chaired the committee for about 3 years, and our process was this. First, we kind of vet through who kind of makes the grade, who has connections, ironically the name of the show.
There you go.
Who has the connections and and kind of the background to be considered for the Rochester Music Hall of Fame. So that goes through the first pass. The way we've done it is we then have each member of the selection committee really come to the first meeting and say, you know, who do you want us to consider this year? The years that I chaired the committee, we would have probably somewhere between 30 and 40 names that we would consider for that year. And then we start breaking them up into categories, and it's multi-level. We really look at genre, because we want to have a balanced show. We do look at star power. We have 2,300 plus seats to sell, and we want to put on a great night of music for everybody. So we do look for star power. We try to bring in an inductee that has great name recognition, but meets our criteria every year, and we kind of go from there. We end up with a bunch of different scenarios, and then it becomes a matter of availability. So we have usually a plan A, a plan B, and a plan C. So, you know, if this one can make it, then, you know, we look at those, and we've kind of ranked them. So we'll probably have, out of that 30 or 40 people, we'll probably winnow it down to somewhere between 10 and 15, knowing that we're going to have probably 5 or 6 inducted for the year. But that's kind of the process. But all along the way, we're looking. The most important thing is somebody's career worthy of being inducted into the Music Hall of Fame? And that's a pretty high bar to cross.
Who are the two or three who got left out this year who were like in that last bit?
Well, there were a couple.
I can't believe you're going to answer this. This is great.
Hey,
careful.
We're very transparent on it. You know, we, like I said, Renee Fleming. We asked her. She wasn't available. We have one that I won't mention that is a very high profile name that could not make it. But two that we were really looking at strongly, one from the classical genre and one from the jazz genre, were the Ying Quartet and Maria Schneider, who are great, and they just couldn't make it. And, you know, so that they will go back on the list, and we'll consider them, you know, in future years.
Okay. And, you know, Tracy, when it comes to the process, are you pretty comfortable with it? Do you feel like you are identifying, for lack of a better term, the right list each year?
Yes. My sole purpose is to advocate for the woman. So, you know, I'm always trying to make sure that we have a balance of, you know, men and women on that list. And I'm thrilled this year that Christine Lavin is going to be able to join us, and she's excited, and she's going to be awesome.
Okay. And Jerry, how do you feel about the process? You feel good about it?
I feel great about the process. I feel great about the people are being inducted. The fact that Al Jardine grew up two doors down from me in Somerville makes me feel really good that my neighborhood is being represented. You know, I look at what we do, and I'm totally convinced that what we're doing is good for the community as a whole. I know that what we've got is a music scene in Rochester is not really a music scene. We have a real depth of culture in the city. And like Jack mentioned, there are so many different genres of music that come out of here between classical, jazz, rock and roll, Latin music, which we haven't been able to get to yet, but we're going to get to that at some point, I think, very soon in the future. Hip-hop music. There's so many different genres of music in the culture that we have in Rochester that I think we just have to keep plugging, and eventually we're going to hopefully get everything in, though it probably won't be in my lifetime.
Well, and one of the things that, you know, our board, and, you know, I can't say enough about our board. You know, Tracy's been on the board from the beginning. I've been there since the beginning. This has been 10 years in the making. And, you know, we took 2 years before we even had an induction ceremony to figure out what we wanted it to look like and what was the criteria we wanted to use to induct people. And we did a lot of research, you know, not only this document, but we went to other halls of fame around. We went to the Buffalo Hall of Fame ceremony many times, you know, to just see what they were all about and how they were doing it. And, you know, the neat thing about our board, it's a 100% volunteer board, number one. Nobody's ever gotten paid a dime for doing this work. And it's because people love music, but they love Rochester most of all. And because music is such a big part of our community, and I really view it as one of the differentiating assets that we have as a community, that we have all these great musicians and contributors to the music scene that we wanted to do something really, really special for them. And something special for Rochester. People on our board don't just love music. They love Rochester. And they're really proud of what we're doing and what we're doing for our community. And they do it selflessly. A little bit of a tongue twister. But, you know, they really do it because they want to do something and make a difference and honor these great musicians that have, in a lot of cases, have impacted their own personal lives.
Now, let's talk a little bit about a guy like Al Jardine, who, founding member of the Beach Boys.
And he isn't from Rochester.
What's that?
He isn't from Rochester.
He's not from Rochester?
He lived here a few years of his life. I think that that's a stretch.
Okay, so Frank's argument is, why do you think it's a stretch?
He was here from age 6 to 10.
Something right. Like that? Okay.
It's not like he was jamming here in high school, even.
In your piece, and this is where I want to ask you if this is fair, you said that if this is the standard, if someone's here in Rochester for about 5 minutes, is what you said about Al Jardine, right. then we should have David Bowie because he got arrested here.
Yeah, he spent the night
in jail
here.
Is that fair? I mean, David Bowie did spend the night in jail here. He's not going to go on the Rochester Music Hall of Fame. But Jardine told the Democrat and Chronicle this is where his love of music was ignited. Does that mean something?
It seemed like very generic answers to me.
Okay, so you're not sold that Al Jardine is Rochester enough.
No, I think the Rochester Music Hall of Fame sometimes does this sort of ped for seats. For instance, they had Rick Derringer here for the Gibson guitars thing.
Which was the inductee?
Well, it was for Rick Derringer.
Rick Derringer for Gibson guitars in recent years?
Juskowitz.
Henry Juskowitz.
Yeah, Juskowitz.
Yeah,
we didn't have Rick Derringer. We had
Chris Daughtry came in and performed
Chris
for
Daughtry,
him.
Chris Daughtry, Randy
Elvio,
Bachman.
Elvio, who's from here.
Yeah, right. Elvio's definitely Rochester, yep. Yeah.
Randy Bachman.
Randy Bachman and
Pat Travers.
Pat Travers.
Pat Travers. That to me was a stretch. We could have taken a decent Rochester guitar player and have him do the tribute to Gibson guitars.
No, but there's a couple of points wrapped in Frank's criticism. Yes. I think we have to hit. Number one, what is the baseline for, quote, Rochester enough? And number two, does that mean that you think there's talent that's getting excluded as a result here? So let's talk Jardine. Do you feel comfortable Jardine
so,
is Rochester?
So I can address both of those. So first of all, on is Al Jardine Rochester enough? So if you go down that path, Tony Levin lived here shorter than Al Jardine did. Tony Levin went to school here. He never lived here outside of school. You got a lot of people from Eastman that just went to school here.
Those were impactful years, though.
Pardon me?
Those were impactful years.
Yeah, and so Al Jardine said his love for music came from when he was living here. So there is a qualitative aspect of that. But, you know, you can look at a lot of our inductees and you start kind of parsing the number of years, but that's one of the things that the selection committee really looks at, and we look at impact on things. There's people that have gone to Eastman that were here maybe 2 years for their masters that we aren't going to consider. So I think there is a qualitative aspect of that. As far as the local musicians, I'll say one other thing. So the Buffalo Music Hall of Fame 3 years ago inducted Aretha Franklin. She lived here from ages 2 to 6, or in Buffalo, ages 2 to 6. So they inducted her.
Was that a stretch?
I don't know. You'd have to ask them what their criteria is.
But it's similar to the Jardine stuff, right?
Well, I think it's a little bit different that she was here maybe from ages 2 to 6 when Jardine says this was an impactful place for him to live.
Okay.
So on the performer list, so in 7 years, we've had over 500 people perform at our ceremonies. And I believe, I probably don't have the number exactly right, roughly 40 to 42 of them have been from outside of the area. So a little less than 10%. Of that group that has been from outside the area, roughly two-thirds of them have been requested by the inductees. For instance, Gad and Levin got inducted last year. They asked to bring the three guys from Limoges, and they got Paul Simon to come. Chuck Mangione, when he was inducted. He asked us to bring in Grant Geisman. He played the guitar solo on Feels So Good. I mean, that's a natural for that. So a lot of these guys will say, hey, we want to. I would like to have so-and-so come and celebrate this honor with me and perform with me. So, you know, if you look at 40-ish out of 500 and probably about 25 of them have been requested by inductees, I think we're doing pretty good as far as having local guys. Frank sang at one of our events.
Yeah, last year.
Yeah. So, you know, I think we're doing okay. I mean, if we've had roughly 450 local musicians perform in seven shows, I think that's pretty good.
Okay. Go ahead, Jerry. Yeah.
Yeah. Just I want to answer the thing on Pat Travers and Randy Bachman and, you know, for Henry Uskowitz. That exact same induction ceremony, the introduction to the ceremony, the very first thing that you saw was Don Mancuso up on stage playing guitar with Jeff Costco. I mean, we had a Rochester guitar player up there. We've had Mike Gladstone play at least two, maybe 3 years already in different aspects. When we inducted the Penny Arcade, we put together a huge group of Rochester musicians, rock and roll musicians, to go up there to honor him and Uncle Raj. So if Henry wanted to have Randy Bachman play for him, that's his right. That's what he, you know, he can request that. And if those guys are willing to come in, right, that's fine. But when we make that choice as to who we're going to bring in to do the other things that have to be brought in, it's always a Rochester musician. Mm-hmm. Like Jack says, yeah, out of 500, 42 of them have been from outside of the area.
Well, one of the bigger questions, I think, raised by Daniel Kushner, who's, I guess, your boss at City Newspaper. I mean,
he's a co-worker.
let's not promote him. Oh, go ahead, Frank. You want to add something?
Daniel, don't get too smart.
Oh no, I take the point. So here's part of what Dan wrote about this. He says, "I do agree with Frank that the inductees selected should more accurately reflect the local music scene itself. To me, what makes a musician's contribution meaningful is not simply that they came out of Rochester at some point, but that he or she developed their sound here in Rochester and helped to cultivate the local music community in a vital way." So that's just a difference of opinion on what should be, you know, sort of the boundaries of how we do this.
There's one band I mentioned in there.
Yeah.
It seems good. The criteria for the hall is the artist has made some sort of national impact. And there's bands like the Quitters, who are a phenomenal band, never went anywhere, but they created the scene. They're the band you could go on a Friday or Saturday night and see. So I think a lot of people like that are being overlooked.
Okay, and it's people like the current scene, which may be seeing a snapshot of what the Music Hall of Fame could include, with bands like Joywave, Mastodon, with Michaela Davis, with Daniel Ponder. We could see that happen. Is it too early? Do you think those should be considered now, Frank?
I think as a governing body, I think that the Rochester Music Hall of Fame could sort of incorporate that into their program.
All right, so this is now sort of the debate now is coming out of Rochester versus doing the work in Rochester. That's probably just a difference of opinion that you're probably not going to square everybody up. But what do you think, Jack?
Well, I think national, local, I think we look at the entire body of work. There are some people that spend the vast, vast majority of their time here, but have done great things. Gap Mangione's inducted. He spent most of his life here. He's done some things more on the national scene with maybe more nationally known jazz artists and stuff, but we look at the totality of everything. We don't preclude, you know, we don't exclude any really look at that. We want to look at the totality of somebody's career. But, you know, it depends. I mean, you kind of brought up the Baseball Hall of Fame. You know, Cal Ripken is inducted in the Rochester Red Wings Hall of Fame. He played 114 games here. There's other, sticking on baseball, Tracy was just at an event with Daryl Strawberry. Everybody thought that he was going to be a Hall of Famer probably the first 3 or 4 years of his career. Things didn't go that great after that and kind of petered out. So, you know, baseball looks at the totality of a career. I think that's one of the things that we're trying to do. And there's some, and you mentioned a bunch of bands that are going to definitely be worthy of consideration, but we want to give it a little bit more time and see where things go.
I think that's fair. And so let's talk a little bit about where we are in terms of the other inductees. And if some of these are names you're going to know off the top of your head, some of them you may not. Jack Alaco is an Emmy Award-winning composer and record producer. And my mother probably knows Jack Alaco, I would think, for this. Sorry, I mean, that's true. They're looking at me like, that's a low blow to your mother. No! Everybody knows that theme from Bold and the Beautiful. So
of
that's,
course.
And poor Jack probably thinks, I've done more than that. tell me a little bit about the induction. Let's kind of go around the table. You want to start, Tracy?
I was just going to say, I understand that Jimmy Richmond's favorite soaps are Bold and Beautiful. So it's not just the women who watch the soaps, okay?
But that was the most shocking thing that came out of our press conference,
I
think. He's like, this is my favorite show.
you feel good about this one, Jack? I know you feel good about all of them, but tell me a little bit about Alaco.
Jack, you know, this is a very good example of Nazareth. You know, he's very connected to Nazareth. He's on the Board of Trustees, and probably since about year two, we've gotten people sending us stacks of paper and emails about how we should consider Jack. Now, Jack is in our original document. I can't remember what page he's on, but he's in there, and it was just working through the process. The guy's won 11 Emmys, and you know, you don't win that by accident. He's written a ton of music. I can't remember how many thousands of hours of music he's written for TV and for Sony Productions. He's toured with Robert Goulet as his, you know, as his music director. He's produced performances at the White House. I mean, he's a very accomplished guy in a medium. You know, it was interesting last year inducting Ferdinand J. Smith. And one of the neat things I thought at the ceremony was, you know, just seeing all of the music that he has written and produced come to life, things that we don't even think about in commercials or the HBO theme. It's the same thing with Jack. I mean, you hear some of the stuff that he's written, it's like, wow, he wrote that? And it's like real music with real musicians that are working hard to make it sound really great. So we're excited to have him inducted this year.
Okay.
He's actually been to the ceremony 3 or 4 times. So,
Frank, are you a Bold and the Beautiful watcher?
Not particularly, no.
But you can appreciate the talent.
You're more of a General Hospital guy, maybe.
Yeah.
Young and the Restless.
The young and bored.
So that's Jack Alaco. I want to talk a little bit about Christine Levin, who is a folk singer and songwriter. Let's listen to a little bit of Christine Levin. This is When It All Goes Wrong, and we'll turn the ship around, and then we'll talk a little bit about not only her career, but maybe her background in the local scene.
There's a storm on the horizon. Skies are blustery and gray. All hands on deck, anchors away. The captain says full steam ahead, you can trust in me. Now we're hanging on for dear life between the devil and that deep blue sea. His crew are all landlubbers, his sons...
So if you are not familiar, Tracy said her mission is to make sure women are repped here. So tell me about Christine Levin.
So she grew up in Geneva, I believe, but she went to Brockport, SUNY Brockport, and Brockport is very excited to be. They have two inductees. Well, they have her, and they have Dave Kane is getting the Special Merit Award. So they have two alum from Brockport. They're very excited about that. I think she's going to be very interesting. She might be a little bit controversial, and I think that's okay.
Why controversial?
She's very political. Mm-hmm. She's a folk singer who...
She's a feminist.
She is a feminist, and she's a strong woman. And I think she's going to shake it up a little bit.
In terms of the actual performance and the message?
Correct. In terms of the performance and the message.
Okay. Are you concerned about that at all?
No.
It's part of the deal, I guess.
Sure. It's what people come to see. It's who she is.
And again, we couldn't get a chainsaw on the stage when we inducted Wendy O. Williams, so we're looking forward to seeing what she's got to sing about, you know?
We got our engineer, Rob Braden, is giving a thumbs up from behind the glass back there. He's applauding on that. And again, Christine's ties are to the Geneva area, sort of Geneva Finger Lakes, yeah?
Yeah, and she has family living here in Rochester. And my understanding is that she comes back every summer and does a front porch concert on her sister or sister-in-law's front porch in the South Wedge area.
Okay. How do you feel about this one, Frank DeBlaise?
I think she's great.
Yeah. So there's another one, Jeff Springett, legendary music promoter. Well, they call him legendary. I just call him Jeff. He's the owner of Rochester's Red Creek Music Venue and a longtime promoter. And you see Jeff at everything from festivals, events, every Rib Fest, I think.
He does the Lilac Festival.
Lilac Festival. So Jeff is being honored. WCMF 96.5, the classic rock radio station. And then you mentioned Dave Kane is going to be given the Rochester Music Hall of Fame Special Merit Award, 38th year on air with the station. And I think you called him an institution in your piece.
Yeah, absolutely. Dave is an institution.
He's a great guy. And he really is just a good guy, too. So so there's a look at some of the show. What are you most excited about with the show?
There's two things that I love about every show. Number one is everyone is unique in its own way, and it really takes on the persona of the inductees. You know, last year was special in its own right because, you know, Steve Gadd, Tony Levin, and Ferdy and the Campbells and John Beck they've all performed together. You know, Steve studied under John, Steve and the Campbells had done music for Ferdy, so there was an interconnectivity of that. But then, you know, it was definitely made, you know, extra special by Paul Simon. We sold the place out without anybody really knowing that Paul Simon was coming. I will mention that. And we had people outside the Eastman Theater with signs that say, "I need tickets," which was pretty cool to see. So, you know, that was unique. The year before, we honored a lot of local people, and, you know, that took on its own kind of vibe. This year, we've got, again, diverse music and maybe some music that people aren't used to hearing, and they get exposed to that, and all the people are very well deserved. So I think it's going to be a great night of music, and you know, we always have a couple surprises up our sleeve.
One of the things I look forward to every year has nothing at all to do with us going up on stage. It has to do with seeing the people who come into that event and seeing the pride that Rochesterians start to have in a community that's had a lot of hits in the last few decades. People get to realize that one of the great things about Rochester, not the only great thing, but one of the great things about Rochester is a legacy. And that's a really important word when you start thinking in terms of who we're inducting, but the legacy of what the music culture in Rochester has had with all the different genres that we have, with the people who have made it, and with a lot of people who never made it. The Rustics and Wilmer and Alexander and the Dukes didn't make it on a national scene, but they were a very, very important part of the fabric of Rochester. And to see people that came out to see both of those groups be inducted, the pride that instilled, not only in Rochester, but also in their time period, it blows me away every time I see that.
There's also a lot of new bands now that I think they feel passed over. Not being inducted, but in sort of being part of the process. I mean, I go out every week and I see shows and I talk to bands and people ask me about the Rochester Music Hall of Fame, and they feel disconnected.
Well, so but let's hit this point, and then in a moment we're going to bring in Phil Campbell from the Campbell Brothers, who performed and was inducted last year.
Last year, yeah.
So Frank, on this point, you know, every Hall of Fame could be viewed as, well, that's an older person stuff. Because in baseball, everyone's retired. In football, everyone's retired. In music, they have to have a whole career.
Right.
Yes. So I'm taking the point that what you're hearing on the local scene is, hey, are we as included? But how do you include them in a way that you're trying to honor a life's body of work, you know, as when a lot of these bands are sort of in process and there's some great talent here?
Maybe by honoring a record of the year.
Record of the year. That's
record
an interesting
of the year, or new band of the year. I know it's not legacy stuff, but it's something that maybe the Hall of Fame could take on.
I think that's a fascinating idea. What do you think?
So you know, we're expanding out of, you know, we've been a one event a year organization really up till now. We now have a physical home on the corner of Gibbs and East Avenue in the Miller Center. Mitch Miller, you know, it's named after Mitch Miller, one of our inductees. So one of the things that we're looking to do as an organization is to evolve past that and be a 12-month-a-year organization. So we are looking to have events. We're setting up a bunch of performance series that are going to be hosted at our space at Gibbs and East. We've got two underway right now that we kicked off about a month ago, Books Backstage, where we're bringing in authors to talk about their music-related books. We also are the new home of the Grove Place Jazz Project, which we had our first performance on Tuesday, and that's Eastman jazz students performing. They're going to be performing almost every Tuesday during the year. So we're looking, and we're looking to add a couple of other things to that, a couple other performance series. So we're going to, once we get the place up and running and renovated, and we can talk about that if you want.
Yep.
But we're looking at having 50 plus events and performances out of our space a year. So we will become a 12-month-a-year organization. And from there, I think that opens the door for us to say, okay, what else can we do? Because, again, kind of ironic that we're on connections. We're about making connections in our community with the music folks. And we want to be Rochester's music cheerleaders. And we're trying to figure out as we go along the best way to do that. And having guys like Frank come up with ideas like he has, and so many others, we're going to be able to kind of work through all of those ideas and figure out how we can best help make an already great music scene in Rochester even better.
Did you want to add one thing, Tracy, before I grab the Campbells?
Yeah, I did. I wanted to speak to what Frank said and say, well, what a great idea. I have to say, that was a great idea. And I like to hear more of that from everybody instead of just they're not doing it right. If somebody has an idea that they see somehow works with what we're doing, why don't we talk about that and see where we can go with that?
All right, well, before the end of the hour, Frank's going to tell us the record of the year and maybe a new band of the year. So you got a little time. I want to bring in.
Oh, no.
We've got Campbell Brothers on the line. So let me grab Phil Campbell first, who is on the line with us, and I think on the road. Where are you, Phil?
No, I'm actually in Rochester right now.
Oh, okay. Well, it's great to talk to you. Thanks for taking the time. What did it mean to you to get inducted in the class of 2018?
Well, it was huge, right? And I think it speaks to a number of things that the board members were speaking of, which was, first of all, I think mostly the night is educational. It is amazing the accomplishments of the inductees, and to understand and find out what these folks have accomplished and what their contributions have been to the music scene of Rochester, as well as the music industry in and of itself, is quite amazing. And it was just not only humbling to be a part of that class, which was just outrageous in the scope of what had been accomplished by that class, but also, it was a validation as well of a lifetime of work. And I think, as you all touched on, the difficulty of this is saying, hey, this is essentially a lifetime achievement award. And some folks are in the middle of, making their accomplishments.
Yep.
So hard to say, how do you recognize those people mid-career? When this is, more of a body of work kind of thing, and some people are still building that body of work. Now, that's not to say that some people haven't reached the threshold already, but the point is that it does take some time to be able to recognize those folks. But again, back to the initial question, truly an amazing experience.
Well, and before I grab, I don't know if you know Chuck Campbell. I'm going to grab him next, Phil. But, for you now, for musicians, as they go out throughout their career, everyone sort of has their own preference for how much you continue to perform, how much you continue to create. How has that felt to you over the years? I mean, and what fires you up these days?
Well, we've always, as brothers, we've always challenged each other to be better. And I think our growth as musicians, as we've been touring the like, has really been tremendous, if I might say so. And that's because we're some of our own greatest critics. So A lot of times, before anyone writes anything, we will already have pointed it out. And I can tell you so many things that were not great about our last album, even though people said that it was a very fine project. I there's a lot that we could have done better, and so I'm looking forward to our next one when we get a chance to right a lot of those wrongs and really make showcase what we've learned as well as bring it all together and yet keeping the spirit in our music.
Well, Phil, thank you for taking the time. I'm going to grab Chuck now. I'm going to let you go, and I want to thank you for taking the time. I know it means a lot to the board members here. You want to say hi, Jack, there?
Thanks for jumping in, Phil. We miss you.
Thanks again. I wrote to you last year, we were overwhelmed. It was just an unbelievable experience.
He deserved it.
That is Phil Campbell from the Campbell Brothers. And now, as we let him go, let's bring in Chuck Campbell. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, how are you doing?
Very good. How are you? Why don't you give us a sense for you, what it meant to you to be inducted in the class of 2018? Are there, Chuck? Oh, we lost him for a second. Oh, let me do this again. Now let's try Chuck. Are you there, Chuck? We've got multiple lines running. We're going to try it one more time. Hi, Chuck.
Hello, how are you doing?
There you are. Okay. Hey, what did it mean to you to be inducted in the class of 2018?
Well, it's a validation of your work, and it's an important validation because when you're when you don't have some of the accomplishments of like Grammys and other type of awards, it's really nice that your own city and your own peers recognized you, and it's but it is a validation that holds up along with other things such as awards given worldwide. And it's I can't describe how proud you are to be a member of the Rochester Hall of Fame.
Well, and you had a fun evening a year ago when you had a lot of interesting people on the stage in one night. It is a big production. What's it like on the night of the induction?
First of all, it's an out-of-body experience, and even speaking with the other inductees, they seem to have the same type of, no matter where we come from, and it's no matter what pinnacle you've reached, it's still right up there with the top things that you, I mean, my goodness, if you have Steve Gadd, and he's able to, Paul Simon wants to be a part of that. What more can be said?
Well, we don't know who is going to necessarily every person who will be on the stage this year, but I imagine that they'll have a big production. Is it Bruce Pilato doing it again too?
Yes, he's our show producer. He's got a lot of help, but he does a lot of work for this.
Yeah, Bruce is one amazing guy who apparently never sleeps. So,
see when we get emails from him.
Sunday, April 28th. Is the show this year. If you want to get tickets on rochestermusic.org,
yes.
rochestermusic.org. And before we let Mr. Campbell go, can you tell us a little bit about what we're hearing here, sir?
You're hearing a change is going to come, which is a piece that is requested by the Campbell Brothers everywhere we go all over the world. And it's one of those pieces that touches people's heart.
Well, we're going to let it play us right into our only break of the hour, and we're going to squeeze a lot into our last 15 minutes with our guests from the Rochester Music Hall of Fame and music writer Frank DeBlaise. Thank you very much, Phil, Chuck, both joining us. Thanks, Chuck. Thanks for taking the time to call the program.
And thanks for all the hard work from the committee and what they do. It's truly an honor.
That is a Music Hall of Famer. And Chuck Campbell. So as we go to break, let's listen to a little bit of a change is going to come back. Change is going to come, and we are going to come back and include more of your feedback in as we round out the hour, getting ready for the eighth class inducted into the Rochester Music Hall of Fame. I I'm Evan Dawson. Monday on The Next Connections, a sensitive and important subject. We're talking about end-of-life care and MOLST, medical orders for life-sustaining treatment. What you need to know about what's available, what's legal, and what many families have to confront. A difficult subject and an important one. We'll talk with you on Monday on Connections. Connections continues. I'm Evan Dawson, and we are talking about the Rochester Music Hall of Fame and the class of 2019 inductees. I want to get Matt on the phone next. Go ahead, Matt.
Hi. I wish I was a Campbell, but I'm not. One of the questions, I looked online, and I wasn't able to see anything other than a quote. Do you guys plan on having Metallica recording the Kill 'Em All album? And then what about Red Creek and the Good Rats? I'll take the answers offline.
All right.
Thank you for taking
Yeah, Matt, Matt, thank you. So one of Metallica's albums was recorded in Rochester, and he's wondering, does that get them on the list for consideration?
That is on our list. We've kicked it around a little bit. Good Rats, I think, are on our list, too. So
Good Rats are actually from New Jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I know the Metallica thing has been brought up before.
Okay. Does that – so that's recording an album. So maybe you feature something from the album?
What the hell does it have Metallica come down?
If we can get Metallica here, right? Would you like to see Metallica here?
At the Eastman Theater? Hell yeah.
Okay.
Oh, so that one's okay, right?
You are such a sellout, DeBlaze. You're a sellout. Now you want Metallica here. Are you changing your standards just because you want Metallica here?
I think they've won me over here.
Jane writes to us to say, let's get the Dady Brothers in the Hall of Fame now for Joe. Thoughts on that?
They're on page 43 of our list, so they've been brought up.
It's a possibility in the future?
They're very much a possibility. Yep. They have had a wonderful career, and they're local. They haven't had a career. I mean, they have gone outside of Rochester,
yep.
But they certainly have a real strong presence here locally.
Okay. How do you feel about them?
Absolutely. And Joe's sick right now, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Jane says for Joe is what she feels there. So that's what they're doing here. You're generating a lot of debate and ideas about what it takes to get into the Rochester Music Hall of Fame. John writes this to say, to Frank's point, while the local music scene impact may not be directed nationwide, it does inspire. Growing up in Syracuse, I discovered the Bug Jar while in college, along with the Rosencrown, Milestones, and all the bands that played there, like the Quitters, Sulaco, the Grinders. There is an energy and inspiration among the scenesters. The music scene in Rochester was far more involved and well-attended than it was in my hometown of Syracuse, which is why I moved here and I never left. For that reason, paying tribute to local heroes would not be a waste, in my opinion. That comes from John. So you get a lot of people talking and kind of debating what's next here, and you've been hearing about the process that's ahead. The place is changing. 25 Gibbs Street's the new home. So what do we expect to happen there?
So we've got a few interesting projects. Again, we're looking to collaborate in the community. We've only got about a little less than 1,400 square feet, and we needed to be a multi-purpose facility. So we wanted to have performances there. So we needed to have a stage built. So one of our board members found this Murphy stage. It's like the old Murphy bed that folds up when you're not using it, and then folds down and it's a stage. Well, it's kind of expensive. So one of our other board members said, hey, the RIT engineering students their senior year have to do this project and build something. So we have four RIT engineering students that took on our project. They are building our stage, and it will be installed or else they don't graduate. And I don't know if that's true, but they've targeted the beginning of May because they are graduating. They have to finish the project. And out of that, we needed to renovate the space inside. We got hooked up with the design studies program there, and they are doing interior design for us. So we're going to transform that space and have it be a real nice performance facility. We can have meetings there, but we're also going to display artifacts and honor our inductees with, you know, stuff on the walls, pictures, bios, stuff like that. So it's going to be a destination.
Patrick in Rochester, I'm going to grab your call in just a second. I know that our guests wanted to remind you again, April 28th, rochestermusic.org, if you want to get tickets for the program. The Lowry Award is something that Tracy wanted to hit, too.
I did. The award is named after the late Dean Douglas Lowry, who was dean of Eastman School of Music, who was very instrumental in getting us into getting our show to be in the Kodak Hall at Eastman Theater. And the award is for we've got two awards for two high school students who have excelled in music and plan to continue music education in college. And they can apply at rochestermusic.org, Douglas Lowry Award. But I just wanted to say that we extended the deadline. It was going to be the 22nd. We're going to extend it to the 29th. And so, music teachers, get your kids to apply, please. It's my favorite part of the show, I think, because when you see these kids and the talent level, it's amazing. Every year, it's just even more amazing than the year before. I cry every year.
So how can they apply?
Just go to the website, and it's online, and it's a very simple application and a link to their music.
Okay.
And in addition to getting to perform at our induction ceremony, parents will like this. They get $1,000 toward their college expenses. So that doesn't hurt, too.
No, that doesn't hurt at all here. Patrick in Rochester wants to weigh in on how metal gets repped in awards. Go ahead, Patrick.
Hi. I heard you mention Mastodon earlier, and that just kind of piqued everything, because I've been involved in the local metal community for pretty close to a decade now, playing and going to shows. And their drummer, Mastodon's drummer, Brent Daler, is from the Rochester area and has a big history here, and Mastodon's won some awards, and he's arguably one of the best drummers in the world out of any genre. And it was good. I was happy to hear that that got mentioned. I didn't catch the beginning of the show, so I wasn't sure the context, but I hope that metal and punk and hip hop and things like that tend to be more underground. Hip hop tends to be more mainstream now, but the more underground genres get represented more so within this process, because it's a huge genre. It's a huge class of music that tends to get ignored by the mainstream for whatever reason.
Okay, well, Patrick, thanks for the phone call. I think there's two points. The question of Mastodon itself, eligible, what do we think?
I think that there's going to be a point where they will be eligible. But when you have a Hall of Fame, there's an implication that there's a body of work behind that. Down the road, I think Mastodon is definitely going to be something that we can take a look at. But also the side of it that, the metal part of it, one of our inductees was Wendy O. Williams, who was metal and punk at the same time. We don't ignore any genre. And I think that's maybe one of the problems that people might perceive with us, because we're trying to hit every genre that comes out of this market. We haven't even hit them all yet. But when you want to hit everybody, because we have such a deep cultural thing in town, it's going to take a while for everybody to get inducted. That's just kind of the way that it is.
But Jerry, are you guys worried about playing Beat the Clock? Because a lot of these older musicians, like in from the 1950s, like the Capris or the Baby Dolls in the 60s, I mean, a lot of them are dying.
Yes, a lot of them are, and that's a great point. And that is one of the things that we do look at. Are they going to be around? One of the biggest regrets that we had with the Hall of Fame was inducting Lou Sala from Blood, Sweat, and Tears 2 years after he died. That was a really sad thing that we had to go through, but it happened. And when we inducted Wilmer and the Dukes and the Rustics, two of the members of each one of those bands had already died, and two of them had to be rolled up on the stage in wheelchairs. It's part of the nature of a Hall of Fame. We're looking at a body of work, a content of work, and we're new.
That's why I'm railing a little bit against the body of work, which is typically 25 years in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I think that there should be sort of a junior achievement or like a midpoint.
Yeah, and maybe that's part of the point. But Mastodon itself, what do you think?
Absolutely.
Okay.
They're from Rochester.
All right, so since this was your idea, Album of the Year for Rochester, what's it going to be?
It'll be the latest Studwell's record.
Okay.
I think they embody the sort of a Merseybeat. The Rochester sound is what I call it. I think they're great.
So new band or maybe up-and-coming band that you would want to highlight as well?
Jeez, there's so many.
Jerry?
Well, I wouldn't call them a new band, but, you know, people that I would like to see would be the High Risers, I think, is a phenomenal band. They're not a new band. They've been around for a long time. But, again, they've gotten to that point where they have a significant body of work behind them. And you have to look at them, even though they've played Europe a lot. They're a Rochester tradition. So I would love to see that down the road. I'm not on the selection committee, though.
Okay. It's a really good scene, though. And I was just listening to Michaela Davis's new record the other day. It's so great. Legitimately good top to bottom. And one of the rare records you could put the whole thing on and never skip a song. It's just outstanding.
And she's on a major label, too.
And I'm going to make a prediction. I predict that before their career is over and her career is over, Daniel Ponder will be in the Rochester Music Hall of Fame and the Music Hall of Fame. If there's
phenomenal.
Any justice in the world, that will happen. But the point is, we're in the middle of a lot of these careers, and there's a lot ahead of us. So you've heard the inductees, and now you've got a chance to go to the show if you want on Sunday, April 28th. And you had Paul Simon last year. Who knows what happens this year? We're going to kick with Steve Gadd, a recent inductee. And Steve Gadd told the story on this broadcast, on this program, of coming up with that little riff that, you know, when he opens this song. Just amazing. So Steve Gadd, a recent inductee, new inductees coming your way. And I want to thank all of the board members here. Thank you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Have a great show on Sunday, April 28th. It's rochestermusic.org for more. Frank DeBlaze will continue to read your stuff in City. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Rob Braden, the engineer, Megan Mack, producer. I'm Evan Dawson. Talk to you Monday on member-supported public radio.